take my broken pieces and put them back. Come out of the world, oh my people, seek the truth.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello everybody, welcome to Torah Life Ministries. I have a question today I want to answer and reply to. I believe it's an important question, and I think many people need to comprehend this. I think men and women need to hear this. And before some of you get offended or defensive about this, please hear out the whole question and a whole video. I am not picking on men or women here. I'm just explaining the way things are, whether you want to hear it or not. Unfortunately, I understand this topic very well because I learned the hard way, because I made mistakes. You know, for those of you out there that are listening right now and have a perfect marriage, a wonderful marriage, and you've never experienced a marriage that wasn't perfect, for those of you that have had broken relationships in the past versus some of you that married your high school sweetheart and never had any issues, there's a big difference here. And the majority of us in today's world have had negative experiences when it comes to relationships. And I want to help people from a biblical standpoint and from a sensible standpoint avoid those situations. But what if we do if we've made those mistakes when we're in those situations is another question. So let me get to the question here today. And I think this is an extremely important topic to address. And many ministries and people don't want to touch these type of topics, but they need to be spoken about. And I know many of you are turned off and upset by these comments and these topics, but they need to be heard. The question says, Paul, I have a video subject you should cover. It's on marriage and dating and how women usually only want men or vice versa for security. And then how they use men to help pay bills and then never even show them love or only talk about them maybe on their anniversaries or something. But women of Yahweh would never do such a thing. Maybe a comparison of how biblical men treat their husbands, vice versa, versus the Jezebel Babylonian woman. So that was the question. And this is a touchy question. It's a question people won't want to go near or look at. And here's the thing, and here's the problem. And this isn't picking on men or women, but here's the issue we have today. Many people make a bad choice when they get married, or they're not following the biblical ideas, or at least listening to the Rahadak Kodesh of the Holy Spirit when they're searching for a partner. Not because they don't want to, it's just because in today's world, most people are not trained to follow the Holy Spirit. They're trained to follow their flesh and worldly desires. And also, most people today are trained in opposite the way they should act. Now, before a man who seems, I don't necessarily want to say bitter, but seems, maybe, I don't know the person's history who wrote this, but maybe they got themselves in a situation that they didn't end up with the ideal woman. Seems they want people to understand this topic. They want people to know. And I don't put the fault on men or women in situations like this. But I do put the fault on society and parents, and not to make excuses. We've gotten ourselves in a situation where, you know, people are very misguided in today's world. And we live in a culture today that doesn't understand the order of Scripture. We live in a society today that doesn't use Scripture to guide what they should be doing, and they're listening to their flesh and also Satan more than they are listening to Yahweh and His Spirit. And we're going to look at this and we're going to see how this is. Now, when I say these things in this video, if some of you get upset or defensive, point is proven. Nothing I am saying here today is not a scriptural principle or a scriptural concept. But because the whatever reason it is, whether you're a man that's been negatively affected in a way by your wife or relationships in the past, or you're a woman who has been negatively affected by a relationship with a man in the past, you're going to have an issue with the things I'm saying. But the thing here is, and I'm seeing it more and more of people falling into this trap, and there's these new these clips on YouTube and Instagram, and like when something's about to happen really bad, this music comes on in the background. It's like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And when I hear about men and women and how they're courting and how they're getting involved and how they're getting married after knowing each other after only a couple of weeks, what's going off in my head is, oh no, oh no, oh no. Yes, there have been situations in the world today where people have met, or maybe it was an arranged marriage, or maybe they just met and they got married a couple of weeks later, and it has worked. But that is not a wise thing to do in today's world. Because of society and the way men and women are brought up today, I definitely don't see it as wisdom of getting in a relationship too quickly. So I wish I would have learned this when I was younger, but here's the thing. There's a fellow named Miles Monroe, and he's a wonderful teacher, a wonderful Bible teacher, and he talks about creating ties or creating bonds with people. And I'll put the video below this link because I think it's really important for people to watch, and I think parents should be teaching their children these things. It's when we create a bond with somebody, we it's hard to break those bonds or those ties. It's hard to break them. And the level that it happens on, so we meet somebody of the opposite sex. Anytime we get personal with them, we're creating a tighter and tighter and tighter bond that is harder to break away from. And this is really, really a dangerous thing. Because if we create a bond with somebody who we don't know, or a bond with somebody who is not meant for us to create a bond with, it's not easy to walk away. You know, as humans, we have something called emotions. And it's not easy to just step away from something we become close with. And what happens is, male and female, they meet each other, whether they're attracted because of the way somebody looks. They're not looking at the real characteristics, and they're not giving enough time to really get to know someone without creating these bonds. Now, you can get to know someone maybe through other people or through a group environment, but when you're one-on-one talking to people on a personal level, for example, if you meet somebody online at the store, you know, and they say, oh, you can go in front of me. Okay, well, thank you. That was that. Now, if you're standing alone, let's say it's a long line, and you end up talking to that person. And, you know, let's say that person is wearing something, and you give them a compliment. You've now created your first bond with them. They've accepted that, and they might give you a compliment back. Then you talk to them, it's a long line, you're talking to them about things, and then they get personal. And then you get their name. Now you've created an even bigger bond. Now you get their name, it started out innocently, but now you got the name and some personal information of somebody you're attracted to, and vice versa. And if you exchange social media information or telephone numbers, in the old days it was telephone numbers, now your bond is getting closer and closer. And then as you have a conversation with this person, your bond is becoming closer in person, closer and closer. Now, the next thing you know, you're talking to this person for a few weeks, and everything good is going on in your mind, and it's all good, and each person is putting on their favorite show for each other, and they're showing their best side to each other. Then after a couple of months, you decide, that's the person I'm going to marry. Every question I've asked, they've answered. That's going to be my spouse. Then you get married to that person. And you find out some things about that person you don't like. And you start having arguments and commotions and all this other stuff that about your disagreements. And I get this all the time, and this is what's happening. And then you find out that maybe things aren't lining up spiritually with both of you. Or you certainly don't like some things about each other. Or you're seeing some things in a different way than you saw when you were first talking in those first couple of months. And then the marriage problems come in. And then it goes down the drain from there, pretty much.
When you bond with another person, bonding is a dangerous word. Bonding is like shooting webs at each other, like a spider web. Every time you speak to someone, you shoot a web. Every time they listen to you, they get a web. And the more you talk to someone, the more webs are created. And then the deeper the conversation gets, the thicker the webs become.
I get more and more people contacting me now than ever before about relationships that are going sour. And 99% of the time, it's the reason because people have created a bond with somebody too soon. And please see that video below. I'll put the link there by Miles Monroe about creating bonds. And they've created this bond with someone else that they shouldn't have. And so things are wrong, and I'm getting all these negative things and everything else. So I think the first problem is, and I know that's not your question. Your question is to address how to deal with this situation. Well, in a way, it is how to deal with this. First, we need to take responsibility for we messed up. Whether what side you're on, whether for a man or a woman, if you've made the error of bonding too quickly and getting married and making a vow and a covenant before even knowing a person, and it takes time to get to know a person, regardless of how much time you spend together, regardless of how much you're talking on the phone, it takes time to get to know a person. And emotions can get in the way, so if you can get to know a person without an emotional connection, you can really get to know a person. But when you get into know a person with emotions involved and everything else, most people act too quickly. Now, some people say, well, in the Bible, you know, when we see Isaac and we see Rebecca, they just met and she came off the horse and she had a veil on. She pulled up a veil. They went in a tent and they came out. They were married. That's not the white pony, happy everly after love story that most people are experiencing today. It would not be good advice to meet a woman and marry her the first day you met her, or the first week, or the first month. I'm not saying it hasn't worked and hasn't been successful for people in the past, but for the most part, it's not a good practice to get into. We need to get to know each other, basically. And so it's the fault of both people. I wouldn't necessarily blame a woman, just the way she acts, you know. So I asked this person this question. The person asked the question here about marriage and dating. And they say when, do a video on how women usually only want men or vice versa for security and how they use men to help bills and never even show it. And I would blame the man here more than anything. Because of the untraining of the parents and society, why would a man date or marry a woman who was like this? I blame the man for a situation like this, not the woman. Because of society, you've made this great error in dating a person like this. And this is a big problem, and this is what people don't want to admit. And many men fall into this category. They end up with a woman who, let's say, was not to their agreement or liking. Well, you're the one that made that commitment and that vow. But I don't blame you necessarily, men, because it's the way society is today, where we're not told to look for certain things. We're not told to vet a certain situation. It's also the opposite situation when a woman says, you know, when there's a single woman, most single women, you know, are not, most divorced women that have children are not good judges of character. You know, they're leaving the man, or on some level, and maybe the man left them, that they had a baby with. And you think, well, what if the man was a jerk? Well, then, woman, you weren't a good judgment of character. The problem is judgment of character for men and women. I'm not picking on men here, and I'm not picking on divorced women who have child, but I'm saying we have not been taught to have good judges of character in today's world, and this is why we have a problem. There's a woman on YouTube here that I watch, and I'm going to interview her really soon, and she just did a video about the Proverbs 31 woman. And I want to put this video on here now and just put a couple of clips from this, and I'll be interviewing her about this a little bit more in the future. And it's really important. So there are several important things. Number one is we need to become good judges of character. Number two is we need to look at who we're creating bonds with and who we're letting in our inner space and our personal life. And number three, we need to look at the reality of certain things and measure how we truly are and what we truly believe. So there's two types of questions here. Number one is, how do you deal when you're in a particular situation? When you're married to a person or you're with a person that you're not in agreement with them. But the real question comes down to is, why did you get in that situation to begin with? You must correct that flaw of your bad character of judgment before you discuss about how you're going to get out of any situations or anything else, because bad judgments leads to more bad situations. And it's just the way we're brought up in today's world. And let me show this video to you, about this, for example, and show you here. It's a great, great video about the Proverbs 31 woman, and most women today will not fall into this category, and I don't blame you women, I blame society. Society is bringing up women to be different, and men are brought up to be different. Men, you are guilty, and women, you are guilty for having bad judgments of character, for not getting to know each other long enough. I'm going to break down this video now, and I want you to understand these different things. And I see this all the time of the spirit of the weak man and the feminist woman. This is the problem. The weak man and the feminist woman. Now, there are certain thoughts of the Jezebel spirit and the Ahab spirit. And we could say technically the spirits aren't connected to a particular way a person's acting. Possibly you could look at it that way, and you could say, oh, the Jezebel spirit is just a Christian saying for a woman who's controlling or manipulative. Or you could say the Ahab spirit is a spirit for the type of man who's just weak and just doesn't stand in his authority. He's really not being a man. And it's a good characteristic of the way we're brought up today. Women are brought up from a feminist mindset, not a biblical mindset, and men are being brought up today in a weak Ahab kind of mindset of not being men. And it's a big problem, and until we become good judgments of characters, we're not going to be able to understand this. So I'm going to put the video link and also the person's name and video channel below this video. But she has an excellent channel, and hear what she has to say right now about women and how they're brought up in today's world, and the Proverbs 31 woman. And then also, and I'm going to interview her soon on the show, and then also, I'm going to come back and talk to you about what it means to be, of the right character for men and women. So here we go.
Hi, my name is Lori Alexander, and there's a huge lie going around in our culture these days. Women will tell me that they want their daughters to be educated. And what that means is they want them to go to a humanist and feminist institution so that they can come out a humanist and a feminist with a huge amount of debt. And that's not what educated means, women. Stop believing the lies. Your daughters do not need to go to college. Most daughters are being raised on screen time, TVs, you know, being bored, gossiping on the phone, dawdling their days away, not growing in wisdom and knowledge, not growing and learning how to run a home smoothly and how to account and clean a home and cook and bake your own bread and sew your own clothes and so many things that will come in so handy if our economy crashes, which it definitely, absolutely can. All of these are something that are worth teaching your daughters, women, not preparing them for college so they can have a career and be, graduate being a feminist and a humanist with a lot of debt, which keeps them in bondage to their career for the rest of their lives. Young women are always asking me what they can do if they don't go to college. Learn to be a Proverbs 31 woman so that when the right guy comes along, he won't marry a career woman who has a ton of debt, who won't be able to be home to raise his children. He'll raise a woman who works hard and knows how to run a home incredibly efficient and can save a ton of money by cooking from scratch, baking her own bread, sewing her own clothes, being able to mend and refurnish furniture. All of these qualities and characteristics are amazingly beneficial and will save so much money. This woman will be able to live frugally and simply within her husband's income because she has learned to do that. She doesn't need the newest and the greatest, and when things break, she can fix them. And she doesn't need to have the latest fashions and all the jewelry and decorations. She can do that with what's in her income and through her own ingenuity. So women, this is the true Proverbs 31 woman.
A woman who has an excellent YouTube channel, again, I'll post below the video, gives some great advice. She's not coming against college as much as she's coming against parents that believe the only way their daughter could be successful is if they go to an institution like college. And the point is, a Proverbs 31 woman doesn't have to have a college education to be a Proverbs 31 woman, and or an educated woman, which was the exact point of the video. And it's true. And most women today, and they teach their children to this, and society teaches that women today cannot be considered successful in today's world unless they can be on a equal level with men in terms of how much money they can make at a particular job or working for a particular company, working for someone else. And the Bible does not equate how much money a woman makes from a company with how successful they are. The characteristics of a woman, a Proverbs 31 woman, can care less about a woman's college education or how much money they make working for an institution. But there are other things that are good characteristics of a biblical Proverbs 31 woman. And in this video, they discuss some of these things. But what I want to do is I want to go to something that I have found here, and I'm going to be interviewing that lady from that interview, and I'll put a copy of the full link below the video because it was excellent, so please watch this. But what I want to discuss here, and by the way, for men and women, in the old days, the idea was, oh, go to college, get a job for a good company, and make a lot of money, and that was considered the success story. Even if you take every biblical concept out of it, that is not good advice for today for men or women. You know, today it should be learn some life skills, and at least for men, don't work for a good company, but own a good company, and so on. And for women, you know, learn biblical characteristics of what a Proverbs 31 woman should be. And for men, you know, be a man. Be a man. And these are two important things that men and women should have before they decide to get into a relationship. You know, and again, the biblical characteristics for Proverbs 31 woman is not that they could be successful in business or successful in this world. That is not the characteristics of a Proverbs 31 woman. And I look at this article here. It's an article that comes from Home Economics School textbook in 1954. And it's questionable if this was true or not. There's a website out there on the internet that distinguishes if these articles or these things are real or they made up. I think it's called Scopes or Snopes. Are they real or are they made up? Were they true or were they not true? And we're going to look at these. Let me find it here. We're going to look at this and see what it said, if this article was true. But first, let's read the article. It says, in the article here, let me just find it. Okay, how to be a good wife. Now, men, if you want to be a good judgment of character and you don't want to be considered guilty for what you're doing, this is the definition, or at least some characteristics you should look for in a woman. As you're getting to know them, not on a personal level, but through group environments or other people. And then there's the characteristics of a good man. A good man should be a provider. A good man should be a spiritual leader of their household. A good man should be a protector. And a good man should be willing, in a loving and gentle way, be willing to give up his life for his wife. These are characteristics of a good man. And ladies, if there's not a man that you know that would be willing to do that, and you can't figure that out in 1 month or 1 week before you decide to spend the rest of your life with a particular man, and then you marry a man after 1 month and you find out that he doesn't have those characteristics, don't blame him for your misjudgment and deciding, well, you know, I married a man who's not willing to fill these manly characteristics. As for a good woman, it says, and here's how you know that what kind of spirit is out there today, and what kind of thinking that people are brought up with.
Come out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry.
Welcome to Constitutional Conversations. I'm Dr. Brenda McMenamin. Why is it so important to understand the Constitution? Understanding the heritage and history that God gave us enables us to honor and obey Him so He can rescue us and America.
The 18th grievance from the Declaration of Independence states, for depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. Benson Lossing shares, when the British ministry perceived that their scheme for taxing the colonies without their consent met with determined opposition, and the commissioners of customs in 1768 were obliged to flee for personal safety from Boston to Castle William, they so modified the courts of admiralty in America as to make them powerful aids to these commissioners and a strong right arm of oppression. An act was passed in which it was ordained that whenever offenses should be committed in the colonies against particular acts, imposing various duties and restrictions upon trade, the prosecutor might bring his action for penalties in the courts of admiralty. by which means the subject lost the advantage of being tried